Praise the Lord, everyone. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. I'm very glad to be here tonight. I'm so thankful that our God's here. Oh my, yes, how we need Him in these moments. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Anna. Oh, thank the Lord Jesus. Oh, it is good to be here tonight. I'm so thankful that we can gather together. I'm so thankful for His Word that ministers to our hearts. Oh, praise the Lord. We are blessed people. Amen. And you know, no matter what, we know the Lord knows how to guide us, how to direct us, how to keep us. Oh, praise the Lord. I know Brother Brian called me yesterday, and he told me that his daughter Audrey passed on to be with the Lord on Monday night around 10 o'clock. And I know she's been really dear. We've been praying for her, and you know, it's been quite a story. You know, I know the Lord knows it all, but I know Audrey, from what I understand, was a person that was out there, a lot of trouble and a lot of confusion, oh my, and wanting to turn to the Lord and not quite knowing how. And you know, we live in a time when there is much confusion out there. We're seeing the end of time, and oh my, oh wow, what a mix it is at this point. But praise the Lord. Brother Brian and Sister Vicki had glorious moments. Sister Abby, too, and those that were able to be with her. And I know, what is it, maybe 5 weeks ago or so, Brother Brian, that, oh, you all had that vacation in Florida. And praise the Lord, you know, it was a glorious time. I know it was Audrey's request. It was a gathering place where you'd gathered all through the years in her childhood. And anyway, the Lord worked there, from what I understand, and Brother Brian had the privilege of baptizing his daughter in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and oh my, praise the Lord for such moments, and praise the Lord, there were many miracles. I know from what I've been told, you know, the things that happened made great impressions on many people. As, you know, Audrey was, you know, going through all of this, and the Lord was working mightily in so many ways. And, you know, I guess it was a couple weeks ago or so that, you know, we were hopeful. I know it looked like maybe they were going to be able to give her a new transplant, a new liver, and whatever all was needed, and you know, it was a miracle how she was even considered under all the circumstances. But praise the Lord, after whatever all, a little bit of time, you know, she was rejected for that. And I know Brian and Vicki took her back home, and she was in hospice. And my, oh my, you know, such things. But, you know, God has been with Audrey in a mighty, mighty way. And I know when she passed this world, from what Brian explained to me, you know, he was playing her favorite song. And as her spirit left her body, her hands were raised toward heaven. And oh my, I know the presence of the Lord was in that place in a mighty way. So praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, that's it. We're living in this life because one day it's going to be over. And, you know, so little will matter at that point except are we right with God? And it's so very, very important, oh my, to consider that need, to lay everything else aside and consider deeply your walk with the Lord and whether or not, you know, you've made it right with God. whether or not you've obeyed the gospel and gone forward, oh yes, to believe that he is, and then to go on to repent of your sins and obey that command to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And praise the Lord, there's that promise of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise the Lord. And of course, you know, we don't stop there, because every day we want to get closer to the Lord. Every day we want to strive for the mastery. You know, we've got things to overcome in this world. That's what it's all about down here. It's about overcoming the flesh, the world, the devil. Yes, you know, getting through and having victory in our hearts and living an overcoming life. Praise the Lord. But oh, the Lord knows how to get us through this world. And what a privilege it is. What a gift it is. Oh my, that we can give it all to the Lord Jesus. You know, we lay down our life in the sense that we surrender our will, our goals, our ambitions. We give it to the Lord. It's you know, what he wants to do with us. You know, and what he has ordained for his children to do specifically. We're all part of the body of Christ. And we all have our own particular mission. And with the Lord's help, we could never do it alone. No, it's not going to be by our own strength. It's not going to be by our intellect. It's not going to be by our own abilities. No, we have to give it over to the Lord. We have to let him lead us, guide us, show us, be with us. We could do nothing without him. He's the vine and we're the branches. And except we abide in him and he in us, you know, we could do nothing. But praise the Lord, he knows how to lead us. He knows how to get us home. Praise the Lord. He knows how to get us home. That's our goal. Someday we're going to get home. It's not here on this earth. No, we're looking for a city that hath foundations, whose ruler and maker is God. Just as Abraham was looking for that city, we're looking for that city too. Amen. And oh, one day it's coming. Our God is going to come. I believe it's going to be very soon. That city is going to come down from God out of heaven. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, and there's going to be a new Jerusalem. Oh, yes, that God brings down. A new earth that he's going to create. Amen. Or he is. Maybe it's already created in that sense. But oh, praise the Lord. He's going to put it all in order. And oh my, it will mean everything in the world to be right with God and to be judged faithfully at that moment. It's going to be worth it all. And oh, praise the Lord. Oh, I'm so thankful. Oh, for those moments that you have shared, Brian and Vicki, with your daughter Audrey, and what God did for her. I think it's so beautiful. Oh, praise the Lord, and thank God, you know, he gives opportunity. He gives space to repent. He takes us. You know, we might have had terrible things happen in our lives. But praise the Lord, you know, God's hands are still stretched out in mercy for those that will call upon him. Oh, yes, like Brother Tim was talking about, that prisoner who was, you know, crying, "Pass me not. Oh, pass me not." And praise the Lord hears that cry. Amen. He's faithful. Oh, yes, he loves to reach out and touch. Oh, it's his will that none would perish, but all would come to repentance. Amen. That's the will of God. Amen. And oh, how we need him. You know, as we walk this earth, we need that overcoming power. If we ever needed the power of the Holy Ghost, we need it now. We need it now. Amen. Like never before. And oh my, I just might say a little bit here tonight as I just begin this message. And you know, the Holy Ghost was not poured out until Pentecost. And praise the Lord, it's called the Holy Ghost because a ghost is the spirit of a departed one. And, you know, it could not be poured out until Jesus had ascended back into the heavens. Amen. But that was his will, you know, that he wasn't going to leave his people comfortless. No, he was going to come unto them. Amen. He had promised the Holy Ghost, and you know, they didn't know how it was going to happen. But he had promised them. Luke 24:49, he said, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you." But he told them, "But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." And you know that word endued? It means to be clothed upon. Amen. Oh, he was going to send back his Spirit. He was going to clothe them with his Spirit, his power, his might, that power from on high. Amen. He was going to come back as the Holy Ghost. He was going to send back his Spirit.
Amen.
And before he ascended there in Acts 1:8, he told them, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Amen. And praise the Lord there on the day of Pentecost. Oh, yes, they assembled together. They knew what to do. And you know what? Mary, the mother of Jesus, was with them. His brethren were there in the upper room. And you know, the Holy Ghost had overshadowed Mary when she conceived Jesus Christ. But yet, you know, she knew there was something greater beyond that that she needed. She needed that power from on high. She needed the Holy Ghost, just like everybody else does. Now, Jesus had also told Peter that Satan had desired to have him, to sift him as wheat. There in Luke 22. But Jesus told him, "But I have prayed for you. And when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren." Oh, praise the Lord. You see, they walked with Jesus, the apostles. They walked with him those 3.5 years. Oh, Jesus had even enabled them to cast out devils and to heal the sick and to do all manners of wonderful, outstanding things. But yet they still needed the converting power of the Holy Ghost. They needed the Holy Ghost to come upon them and change them, to give them that power to be a witness, to be a light, to be endued, clothed with the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
And praise the Lord. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. Oh yes, they had tarried there, just as Jesus had told them, until they be endued with that power from on high. And they didn't know how it was going to fall or how it would come upon them. But praise the Lord, oh, that wonderful event. And all at once, so yes, that power from on high came down upon them. They were waiting. They had tarried. It had been several days. And you know, again, they didn't know the manner. They didn't know when it would happen. But yes, it had been promised. And so it did happen. Oh, praise the Lord. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, yeah, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, split tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And not only, oh, here came the evidence. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And you could tell, because they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen. The Holy Ghost came upon them and it was manifested. They could tell because they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Oh, praise the Lord. When that comes upon you, oh my, it will change your life. You'll not be the same when the Holy Ghost comes upon you and you've yielded to it. You've let go of this world. You've surrendered your heart. You've let the Lord come into your life in such a way that you begin, oh, to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God is the utterance. Oh, just as it was proclaimed by the prophet Joel, and oh, yes, as Isaiah proclaimed it, "For with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak unto the people, saying, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing." Amen. That's what Isaiah stated by the utterance of God, the anointing power of God. Oh, praise the Lord. They were going to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Oh, praise the Lord. It's really something. It's, oh my, as the Lord begins to take that unruly member, that little old tongue of ours, it gets us into so many difficulties and troubles. Words that, you know, you say and then you can't take them back. But praise the Lord, he takes that tongue, and oh, there may be stammering lips. Oh, praise the Lord, but oh, he takes that tongue, and oh, it may stammer, but oh, you give way. Let the Lord talk through you, oh, and let him come down, and praise the Lord, all at once, he'll take that tongue, and you're speaking in a language that you don't know of your own. You haven't learned it. It comes upon you, and you begin to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's the power from on high. That's what he promised. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. And we can have it today because they were on the day of Pentecost when Peter preached. And he said, "Repent ye there. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." He went on to say in the next verse, "For this promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Amen. Yes, first comes that call. That call to repentance. That need to turn to the living God and give our hearts to him. Amen. He calls us. And then, oh yes, we need to obey that call. Yes, it's a call to repent, to turn up your life around. Oh, yes. Oh, to turn away from your sin and all your rebellion and all the things that were in your heart in the past and give it over to the living God. And yes, then there's that command to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, when you go down into the water. Amen. Oh, yes, as you are buried with Christ. And oh, yes, you come up out of the water ready to walk in newness of life. Amen. And praise the Lord. Thank God. You know, I love it when people come up out of that water speaking in other tongues. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, they've repented. They've turned it over. And now, yes, they come up speaking in other tongues.
Yes.
As the Spirit of God gives the utterance. Oh, praise the Lord. It's going to change your life, folks. Oh, my, it's going to change you. You're not going to be the same after it happens. Amen. No, that's the initial infilling of the Holy Ghost. And there are gifts of the Spirit that come forth. Lord willing, if we can get far enough in the epistle of 1 Corinthians, we're going to be learning more about them. But oh my, first of all, he fills us with his Spirit. Oh yes, by filling us with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.
What a joy it is. I'll tell you what. It happened in that second chapter of the book of Acts. And you know, the people were so amazed because there, those that had assembled, and there was a great crowd of people. It was the feast day of Pentecost, and they had come from all parts of the earth to partake in that celebration. But oh my, they could hear those that had been filled with the Holy Ghost speak in their own languages the wonderful praises of God, the wonderful works of God. It was so amazing. And they didn't know what to think. You know, they were amazed. Some were in doubt. Some mocked and thought, oh my, these men are full of new wine. But oh my, Peter stood up. All the keys had been given to him there. You read of that in the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew. Praise the Lord, the keys had been given to him. And now he opens up the door. He has the keys. And he stands up with 11 and he begins to speak to all those that are there. Ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. And he explains, for these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But he said, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, he told them clearly. He explained it. This is what Joel spoke up. The second chapter of the book of Joel. This is what Joel spoke out. But God pouring out of his spirit upon all flesh. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, not just to the Jewish people, but it was going to be for the Gentiles too. It wasn't just for the man. No, it was going to be for the women too. Praise the Lord. The sons and the daughters. Praise the Lord. And oh, yes, visions would be seen and dreams would be dreamt. But oh, my, God was going to pour out of his spirit. Oh, yes. His people would prophesy. Oh, yes, his people would speak with new tongues as the Spirit of God came upon their lives. Oh, praise the Lord, yes. Thank the Lord. By the time he finished that message, they were pricked in their hearts. Oh, yes, and there were many, even though they had been participants in the crucifixion, now they were ready, oh my, to repent and turn their lives over to the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, that question was asked there, men and brethren, what must we do? And then, yes, I said, God had given Peter the keys there, Matthew 16. Oh, and Peter said unto them, he's turning the key here in that 38th verse of the book of Acts, in the second chapter. He's turning that key now. He's telling them what they need to do. He's opening up the door. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And again, that 39th verse. For this promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And you know, it wasn't just for that moment. It wasn't just on the day of Pentecost. So, you know, they could speak in other tongues, you know, in front of those that were gathered that day. No, it happened every time, I believe. We read of it in the 10th chapter of the book of Acts when, oh yes, Peter was sent to Cornelius in Caesarea. Amen. And that was such an amazing story. God had prepared that heart of that Gentile man. Oh, God had prepared him. He was a devout man. He's one that feared God. Oh, you know, in most people's eyes, you know, how could you find a better man than that? He loved the Lord. He feared the Lord. He gave much alms, it tells us, to the people. And he prayed to God always. Oh, praise the Lord. God gave him a vision, told him to call for Peter. Oh, yes, and so he did. Peter was in Joppa, and he was dwelling with one, Simon the tanner. And, oh, yes, he sent his men to go get Peter. Praise the Lord. Peter came after God dealt with him, too. And such an event, you know, when he got there. Here's a Gentile man. Oh, the Jews perceived that they were unclean, you know. They didn't have dealings with the Gentiles for the most part. But oh my, no, God was going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. And that included the Gentiles too. There it is. Next, the 10th chapter. Peter began to preach and he began to open up his mouth, realizing, oh, that God was no respecter person, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. And praise the Lord, he went on to preach and tell how Jesus, oh yes, was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power, going about doing good and healing the sick. Those that were oppressed with devil, he delivered. With devils, he delivered. And they had been witnesses of such things. And he told, oh yes, how he'd been slain and hung on a tree, but God raised him up the third day. You know, praise the Lord. He began to continue there. And oh yes, tell those that were gathered there with Cornelius. And Cornelius had his whole home, his family, and everyone that, you know, was willing to come there in that place with him that day. His relatives, you know, his friends, whoever was willing to come. And you know, Peter was preaching to him, telling, oh yes, how God had ordained Jesus to be the judge of the quick and the dead. He told him that he to him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. And praise the Lord, he got that far. And all at once, oh my, the Holy Ghost fell on these Gentile people. And you know, those of the circumcision, the Jews that were there, they were astonished. They were astonished because God was pouring out his spirit, the Holy Ghost, on the Gentiles.
Amen.
And how do they know it? Verse 46 clues us in. It tells us here in Acts 10, verse 46, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And then it says, then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Oh, praise the Lord. It fell on the Gentile people. Amen. Amen. And oh, yes. In the 19th chapter of the book of Acts, we see that it fell on believers. They had believed through John the Baptist. And here it's Paul who is passing through the upper coast, coming to Ephesus, and he found these certain disciples. And what did Paul ask them when he met them? He asked them here in Acts 19, verse 2. He asked them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And it tells us, and they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And then so he inquires, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. And then Paul explains in verse 4 here, he said, John merely baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. And praise the Lord, these disciples of John the Baptist, when they heard this, they obeyed. Oh, it says when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. It was good news. Oh, praise the Lord. Jesus had come to this world. He came to save us from our sins. Amen. And it tells us in verse 6, and when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. It tells us that all the men were about 12. Amen. Oh, that's what happens. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, that's how it happened to me. Praise the Lord. One night with the Lord, talk to me. And oh my, such a moment that was, because I was an 8-year-old child. And oh my, I never really sought the Lord before that time. But that night, God got a hold of me. That night, there was great conviction. It was a message about the lake of fire. And all at once, all I could desire is to get up there and seek the Lord and cry out to Him, get right with God. I didn't want to go to hell. All at once, so it was very real. If I didn't get right with God, I was condemned. I was condemned for the lake of fire. And praise the Lord, oh, that night God met with me. Amen. Oh, I remember that night. Oh, praise the Lord. I thank God for the people that were gathered around me, my mother and my dad, and oh, several of the dear saints in my Hope Church. They were around me. Oh, and I can remember dear Brother Haskins praying for me and, oh, urging me. And, oh, praise the Lord. You know what? Oh, it was a while. It didn't happen instantly. The first 5 minutes, I probably prayed for an hour. All at once, praise the Lord, the Holy Ghost came upon me. And I began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. I'll tell you what, He changed me that night. All those ambitions and goals that I had formerly, all that defiance, that attitude. Oh, I wasn't going to be, like my mom and dad. I wasn't going to serve Jesus like they did. So I thought, but oh, how the Lord got a hold of me that night. I'll tell you what, it was never the same. Never, never, never the same after that. Praise the Lord. The next Sunday night, I was baptized. In the name of the Lord Jesus, for the remission of sins, praise the Lord. And praise the Lord, it happened again, I came out of that water, just speaking forth in other tongues. Oh, it could hardly make me stop. Praise the Lord. But that's what God will do. Just have faith and believe Him. Just let the Lord do it. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. I know of people who have said, oh Lord, I don't know what to think. But if that gift is for me, I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, I remember, yes, one gentleman that we had worked with, and he'd been baptized, and that's quite a story in himself. But praise the Lord, he prayed that prayer. And right there, I think he was sitting at his table, the Holy Ghost came upon him and began to speak with other tongues. Oh, praise the Lord, Brother Don, who comes to church here, too, said he got to that place where he was so desperate, he just had to know if that was for him, he wanted it. And thank the Lord, God did not disappoint him. No, oh, the Holy Ghost came upon him, and he began to speak with other tongues. Oh, yes, we used to pray. Oh, yes, if you didn't have the Holy Ghost, you came up, if you wanted to be filled, you came forward, be prayed for. Because, it mattered. Yes, he wanted that gift of the Holy Ghost. He wanted it. Oh, my. And praise the Lord for the mighty infillings. I saw it again and again as I was a child. And, as after the Lord filled me, I just was eager to pray with everybody else. Amen. Oh, talk about changed lives. It's going to change you. Yes, amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Remember the day Brother Tim came here, and I remember when he was baptized in that cow tank over there. And praise the Lord, he went down in the water, and praise the Lord, he came up speaking in other tongues. Amen. I praise the Lord. That's the evidence. And he did it. What God did in the past, He's still doing today. If people just have faith and believe God, forget about everything they've been taught that's in error, and look through the Word of God and see what it really says. Yes. Amen. Yes. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. And, oh, yes, that's the power, that Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Peter talked about it, the thing which the angels desire, that thing that the prophets wrote about. They didn't understand it. Oh, the Spirit of God worked in them. It came upon them so that they could utter all the utterances that God gave them to say, but they had not been recipients of the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It wasn't until Pentecost. It tells us that first chapter of the first epistle of Peter. Amen. Oh, yes. Verse 10 here, 1 Peter 1. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come upon you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Oh, praise the Lord. What a gift. God's great desire, oh, that he would dwell in his people. He led them through the wilderness under the old covenant with a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. That's how he led them. And yes, you know, there was a rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. They drank water out of that rock. God led them in that manner in that time. But praise the Lord, there was something that he reserved for his New Testament people. Praise the Lord. And it was in the plan of God from the foundation of the world. Amen. Oh, he knew that it was going to take that. Oh, yes, he was going to bring forth a new covenant. Oh, yes. Oh, praise the Lord, where we wouldn't be under the letter of the law, so to speak, as they were under Moses. But he's going to put the law in our heart so we can be led by the Spirit of God as individuals. We wouldn't have to come to a prophet and say, you know, prophet, please tell us what God would have us to do. But we would all have that opportunity to be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. As individuals, the Comforter. Oh, it's a good reason Jesus called it the Comforter. You know, he said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to come unto you. Why? Because, yeah, he was going to send back his ghost, the spirit of a departed one. He was going to come and dwell in his people. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And oh, it would change us. It would change us. It had not happened before in that manner. But oh, yes, that's how it was going to be as recipients of the new covenant. Praise the Lord. And here we are. Here we are. You know, 2,000 years have passed since Jesus walked this earth, but praise the Lord, he's still filling people with the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen. He's still doing it. If you believe, oh yes, if you accept it, if you let the Lord do it, praise the Lord. Oh, it's, you know, yeah, the Holy Ghost of the Savior, the Lord, is given away. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's not reserved for one specific people. No, it's for all that will call upon the name of the Lord. Amen. It's for our children, all that will embrace the glorious message and that realization that, oh, yes, he has promised that gift of the Holy Ghost. Let those doubts go. Let those fears go. Oh, praise the Lord. I remember that beautiful occasion when Brother Chung and Sister Sharon came to be with us those few years ago. And praise the Lord, Brother Chung and Sister Sharon, they had came separately, but in two different times to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And praise the Lord, here it was, these few years after that, that we had this occasion, and Neil and Kim had come from Canada. Well, they were in England and going to Canada, but, you know, they came to be with us. And they wanted to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They wanted to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And all here was, you know, Sharon and John that came also to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And, oh, praise the Lord, you know. There it was. We were praying. It was in my living room. Praise the Lord. And Brother Tim was with us. And you know, he just told, you know, pray with Brother John first, and, you know, just telling him to let the Lord do it, yield his tongue over, and let the Lord speak through him. And praise the Lord, there it happened, just like that. Brother John was speaking in other tongues very clearly, very distinctly, amen, as the Spirit of God came to dwell, amen, to fill him with the Holy Ghost, amen. Yes. Praise the Lord. And Sister Sharon, I know there's a little battle going on, but praise the Lord, Sister Sharon fought that little battle and came back in and said she was ready. And praise the Lord, we began to pray with her. Praise the Lord, pretty soon, praise the Lord touched her tongue too. And she too spoke forth in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, yes. It's for whosoever will believe. Amen. Will accept such a gift. Amen. Praise the Lord. And that is the evidence. And praise the Lord. Lord willing, there's more to be said. But, you know, it's going to come out. Hopefully, you know, as we study 1 Corinthians, there's going to be more. We'll talk about the gifts of the Spirit. But, oh my, first of all, you need to be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And there's going to be an evidence that comes forth. You're filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. You're going to speak in other tongues.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you what, I woke up Sunday with this on my heart. And I guess I just had to let it come forth. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank the Lord. That's the way it is. Amen. Much more that could be said, but let us suffice for now. Amen. Okay, praise the Lord. We're going to go into 1 Corinthians 5. Maybe we'll get through it and maybe we won't, but anyway, I'm going to let the Lord lead. Praise the Lord. We've been going through 1 Corinthians, and this church had some problems. You know, we read that Paul considered them to be carnal because they were still babes in Christ. Yes, he had come to them. He had established that church. And yes, they had embraced the gospel, and glorious things happened back in the book of Acts. But, you know, that growth that needs to come forth was stagnant. And these people, you know, hadn't arrived at that place where they were living in great victory and in great strength. And, you know, we've been reading of some of the problems there. Those first four chapters, you know, there was this rival spirit, you know, some saying, I am a Paul, I am a Apollos, and kind of like a controversy that was going on. And, you know, what does it matter? You know, the thing is, we need to be born again. We need to be baptized in Jesus' name. You know, it's not who does it. It's the fact that you obey the gospel and it happens.
Amen.
And, you know, it's done properly. But anyway, there was this conflict. And, you know, we read of, you know, those that had envy and strife, and there were divisions among them. And, you know, then chapter 4, we were talking and reading about, you know, the critical spirit. It seems like they were pretty critical of Paul, and they had this puffed up attitude. Oh, my, and so obviously, there are problems. And when there's these kind of things going on, God isn't going to be able to work like is needed in the hearts. You know, it's going to be stagnant. The fruit of the Spirit isn't going to be there. The gifts of the Spirit, well, they did, you know, have a zeal for the gifts of the Spirit. We'll get into that later. In fact, these people did have a zeal of sort, but see, they had these things that were hindering them in great ways. And here we come to chapter 5, and oh my, now here's a biggie. Here, that was among them, and here, as we go to the first verse, we're going to read. It tells us here, oh my, you know, all the things that we've already considered, and here's this biggie here, oh my. Paul writes, "It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as it is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife." So anyway, this was unheard of. Oh, in many senses. And you know, even the Gentile people who had not been under the law, and I'm sure, I mean, you know, when Paul established these Gentile churches, I'm sure there are many, many things he had to correct. I mean, they were heathens, you know, they were out there, you know, doing what they knew to do, you know. They didn't know the living God. Oh, until it was brought to them, the good news, the gospel. But, you know, here in this church that, you know, has come to the Lord, and, you know, you just think, oh my, you don't expect this. But here's this problem. And there was one among them that was with his father's wife. So anyway, oh boy, correction is needed here. And I did mention this last week. You know, it's not easy to correct people. Nobody likes to do this. It's very difficult, as a matter of fact. But anyway, here is this dilemma. And, you know, Paul says in verse 2, "And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you." They had excused it, in other words. They had just passed this incident under the rug, so to speak. It was allowed. And, you know, they hadn't come against it. They hadn't tried to correct it. So there's a problem here. They were puffed up with their, you know, own pride and, you know, ignoring this detail. So here's Paul. He says in verse 3, "For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that hath so done this deed." I mean, oh my, you know, it didn't take too much deliberation to know that this should never be in the body of Christ. This should not have ever occurred. But oh my, here it is. So, you know, he's got to bring forth some correction. And I'll tell you what, if it was needed back then, how about these days? When, oh my, there's so many forms of doctrine here and there and everywhere. There's such a departure from the faith. You know, Paul wrote about it in 2 Timothy, if I could just go there for a moment. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul is writing, he says in verse 1, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom." Well, that first verse tells us a lot, you know. When he comes again, he's going to establish his eternal kingdom. You know, it's already, you know, he's got it in motion, so to speak, but it's going to be a reality at his coming. And he's going to, you know, he's going to judge the quick, that means those that are alive, and the dead at his coming. Isn't that pretty clear? And he says, "Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Oh, yes, big things there. He's telling Timothy the need for such, the need for reproof and rebuking at times, and exhorting to build up. And, you know, to do it patiently with longsuffering, but with doctrine. Oh, the doctrine that was once established by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the apostles who declared it, oh yes, after Pentecost. Because here he tells us in verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Oh my, I believe that's today. I believe we are in a time when people will not endure sound doctrine. They don't like that word. They don't like that word doctrine. They just as soon skip it, you know. I'm okay, you're okay. You know, let's all just agree to be different and all that kind of thing. But there is a doctrine that was established. There was a faith that once was established to the saints. And come on, it hasn't changed. It has not changed. But I believe we're in that time where people do not endure sound doctrine, but they'd rather go after their own lusts and heap to themselves teachers. In other words, find teachers to their own liking. Oh, teachers that will tell them what they want to hear, tickle their ears, you know, because they don't, you know, who wants to change? Who wants to repent? Who wants to turn to the scripture? And it tells us in verse 4, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. Oh, sad, but I believe that's the time that we're in right now. Amen. Also, here in 2 Timothy, while we're here, just looking at the second chapter here for a moment, looking at verse 15, where it tells us, here, 2 Timothy, the second chapter, verse 15 tells us, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And how can you divide it unless you know it, unless you've obeyed it, unless it's in your heart? But he goes on to say in verse 16, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And so it is, you know, those things that were beginning to develop even in the days of Paul. Think how they've increased at this moment. And yes, there was a problem even when Paul was penning this letter to Timothy. And he said, and there were these that, you know, that have these profane and vain babblings, you know, to be profane is to be unholy, to, you know, take God's word, to defile it, to misuse it, all that. It says in verse 17, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. See, it was happening back then. They were seeing false teachings coming in and confusing the people. Yeah, there were some that adhered to this false teaching, this saying that the resurrection was past already. Oh, it was completely unfounded and untrue. But oh my, see, they may have said it, but it doesn't change the truth by any means, because it tells us in verse 19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having the seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. It's sealed. The word of God. Well, it's opened up so that we can see it. Praise the Lord. But it's sealed to the extent that it's settled. it's established. That foundation isn't going to change. You know, it's solid. It's a solid rock. You know, what was declared 2,000 years ago is the same today. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yes. You know, he's God. He changes not. But praise the Lord knows his people. He knows them that are his. And yes, here it's told us very clearly, if you're going to name the name of Christ, depart from iniquity. Amen. He's going to call us in our sins. But praise the Lord, we're going to begin to see how deplorable they are, how ugly, how abominable in the sight of God. And you know, we're not going to want to wallow in those sins. We're not going to want to live in those sins. Praise the Lord. That's what repentance is all about. Yes. Is giving it over to the Lord Jesus and turning away from them. Amen. So let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Amen. That's what it's all about. Our new life in Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. But going back to 1 Corinthians 5, here's this problem. And again, wow, this was back then. How about today? There's so many that have departed from the truth. Oh my, it's so scattered. I know so many of you up there, you know, I've heard the story again and again, how you can't find a church locally, you know, you can't find a church, you know, that's even close. You go here, you go there, trying to find the truth, and it's just not there. Oh, we're in this very difficult time when hardly anybody will endure sound doctrine. But here it was back then, this problem that was there among this body of believers here in 1 Corinthians 5. And so Paul is judging it. I mean, it's not a hard thing to see. This is wrong. You know, you can't have this in the body of Christ. The Lord wants to keep his body pure, you know, and he doesn't want it to be defiled by unclean things. So here he's telling them, verse 4 here, 1 Corinthians 5, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together in my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto Satan, for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. And I'll tell you what, this is actually a message of hope here. Because, you know, Paul isn't saying, you know, this person is condemned to hell. We caught him and, you know, there's no hope. But no, this could not be allowed among the body of believers. Yes, they had to remove it from their presence there. You know, as they worship the Lord, it couldn't stand. But he says to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, so that that individual could realize his or her need to repent, to get right with God. Yeah. I mean, come on. What good is it going to be, you know, if you think you're okay and you're not? You're living in sin and yet you think you're okay, and nobody reproves you? And nobody tells you to cut it out, to get right with God? You know, that's not doing you any good. Because God's word, that foundation stands sure. You know, he's not wavering. You know, it's not for one person and different for somebody else. You know, he's not winking at it, God. He's not winking at certain things. So they needed to get it right. And yes, he's telling these Corinthians to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Oh, yes, there's hope here, because you know, with that prospect that, you know, this one who was in jeopardy at the moment, this one who was in error, would see their need to get right with God. And, oh, yes, to do the right thing, to put it away, this sin, this thing. And oh, my, that they could be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. The spirit could be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Yes. And isn't that gracious? That's our God. Oh, you know, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God has no pleasure in the death of a sinner, somebody who has not given his or her life over to the living God. There's no pleasure in that. But oh, God's great desire that those that walk this earth would turn their lives over to God and repent and get right. And I thank God, you know, sometimes I think how it was, how God gives space to repent. I think there, even in the book of Revelation, this is so amazing to me that even that wicked old woman, Jezebel, that it's told us that even her, God gave her space to repent of her fornication. There in the second chapter of the book of Revelation, verse 21, he's talking about Jezebel. Very wicked woman, maybe the most wicked woman in the Old Testament. But God gave her space to repent of her fornication. It tells us in verse 21. But it says also, and she repented not. And oh, yes, it goes on to say there, Revelation 2, verse 22, behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. See, Jesus said it too. You know, there in the 13th chapter of the book of Luke, oh, what did he say? He said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Oh, yes, we've been told, you know, Romans, the 3rd chapter, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Oh, that realization when it hits us that we're sinners. We live in this world and we've committed sin. But praise the Lord for his great mercy. Oh, yes, for the wages of sin is death. You don't repent. You don't get right with God. There's death that awaits you. And I don't mean just departing from this life. I mean eternal damnation. But praise the Lord, on the other hand, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Praise the Lord. As it tells us in Romans, the 6th chapter, in verse 23. Oh, yes, that space that he gives to repent, that we don't have to perish. But oh my, so here, back here in 1 Corinthians 5, you know, there was that urging. You got to get right. This can't be in the body of believers. It has to be purged out. And, you know, they hadn't understood. They had ignored it. They had let it go. And so he tells them here in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 6, he says, your glory is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? And then he begins to tell them, purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Oh, praise the Lord, the gift of God. Oh, praise the Lord. That leaven that had got into the body of believers. And we know how it is. It's talking about yeast. And oh my, if you're making a loaf of bread and you're adding even the leavening, Oh man, it's quite a thing, you know? Pouring that little powder-looking stuff. You know, put a sweetener with it, most likely, and you know, it begins to grow. You know? Thistles will up, and pretty soon, you know, you get a mass of it. Well, Paul is talking about sin. Leaven is compared to sin, is equaled with sin in the scripture. And oh my, he's telling them, you know, you let a little bit of leaven getting into the body of Christ here, and now you're glorying in it. But if you know, you don't take heed and get right, that leaven is going to grow. It's going to leaven the whole lump. So, you know, pretty soon everything will be infected by that leaven. It's going to be there. Everything is going to be defiled. And so, yes, there was a great need. Oh, yes, to get this body of believers right with God, to do the proper thing here. Oh my, that they might become a new lump and not have this infestation among them. And then he talks about Christ, our Passover, his sacrifice for us. Oh, praise the Lord. You know that wonderful gift of salvation that's been given to us. Oh, yes, I just want to turn here for the moment here to 1 Peter and this beautiful portion of Scripture here. 1 Peter, the first chapter. It tells us here, I'm going to start with verse 14. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation. Oh, praise the Lord, that call has responsibility to it. Yes, he that called us is holy. He's separate. He expects us to separate our life from the world of sin. And here we're told to be holy in all manner of conversation. And that word conversation doesn't just encompass the way we talk, but that word conversation involves our behavior, our conduct, our manner of life. It goes even beyond our conversation. And he goes on to say, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Oh, yes, he's called us to a walk of separation, to be separated from the world and all of that, just as he is separate. And so he says in verse 17, and if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. And it means, you know, you need some caution. You know, you need to give heed. There's certain things you can't allow in your lives, because we're going to stand, every one of us, before the judgment seat of Christ and give, you know, account of the deeds that we did in our flesh. So, yeah, we better listen. And he tells us without respect of persons. In other words, you know, he's going to judge according to his word, not according to man's thoughts or ways or somebody's writings or thinking. So he continues to say, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers. Oh, the gift of God is so very precious. Yeah, we weren't redeemed by paying silver or gold in exchange for our redemption. No, it wasn't that at all. No, there was a gift that was given. Oh, a very, very precious gift that was given to us. So praise the Lord, a gift that costs so much. But here it tells us here, verse 19 here, 1 Peter 1, verse 19. Oh, we weren't redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who barely was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him to believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Oh, praise the Lord. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Oh, praise the Lord. There was a very dear price that was paid for our salvation. Jesus Christ, oh God, robed in flesh, who came to this world for the purpose of saving us from our sins, knowing that he was going to have to go to the cross, that he was going to become the Passover lamb. Oh yes, this was a sacrifice. Oh, they had offered their sacrifices. It was necessary under the old covenant. They had to offer the blood of a bull or a goat, a sheep, a lamb, whatever all. But Jesus Christ came, oh yes, to give his life a ransom for us. And that's how we were bought, with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these times, these last times for you, who by him to believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Oh, that gift. And oh, yes, he came to be that Passover lamb. Oh, praise the Lord. He offered himself once and for all, so we would no longer have to offer some kind of animal sacrifice to atone for sin. But he offered himself on that cross of Calvary. Oh, yes, that we might come to him, that we might believe, that we might embrace the gospel. Praise the Lord, that we might repent of our sins. Praise the Lord. Be buried with him in the waters of baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And yes, that we might receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. The gift of the departed one, the gift of Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. He who came. And it says here, I'll stop with verse 8 here in 1 Corinthians 5. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Oh, praise the Lord, a dear price was paid. Oh, to redeem us, to save us. Oh, silver and gold could never be enough to buy us, to redeem us, to save us. But praise the Lord, it was the precious blood of Jesus Christ, that lamb, oh, in the mind of God, slain from the foundation of the earth. Oh, that eternal plan of God. He knew what it would take to buy us. Oh, yes, to get us to be, oh, his sons and his daughters. But he came to this earth and lived that perfect life that we might have salvation. Oh, we might have abundant life in Christ Jesus, that we might be his sons and daughters. Oh, praise the Lord, that we might be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Well, thank you, Sister Shirley, and what a great reminder it is that we so much need the Holy Ghost, the breath of life that gives us the sustenance and quickens us to know how to think, what to think, how to do and what to do, and how he leads and guides us in life, and how we can are able to listen and hear him, how we need to be quickened and filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And on that note, perhaps we could go to 187 in the Melodies of Praise hymn book. It's called Fill Me Now. Amen. 187. Dismissed unto prayer. God bless you all. Thank you.
Lord.